3, 7. Hello. Woo, there I am. Wasn't even me. Woo. Well, good morning. Ha. Thank God for Advent Conspiracy. Were you checking out some of those posts online and people 800 people deep waiting to get in the store for Black Friday? I tell you the truth. I did it one time and one time only. Never again. Well, I hope that you are still enjoying this season of Thanksgiving. Truly, it is a season, not just a particular day. And I'm thankful this morning for all of you. I'm thankful to be before you this morning in strength. Thank you for your prayers. I feel a lot better. Thank God for Christy Sidwell. Is she in here this morning? Where are you at, girl? Oh, I don't see her. Okay, anyway, next service, or anyway, she worked on my neck and back, and praise be to God. I was able to connect with my family over the holidays and didn't have to do a whole lot of cooking or anything like that. But I just thank God that there was an abundance of good food and good fellowship. So listen, we're going to dive right into our message this morning, okay? We have been traveling with Pastor John in a month-long sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And the preacher has been crying out, come on, God. He and about a half a dozen others went to, an awakening service or Holy Spirit Conference in Franklin, Tennessee, and the whole theme was, come on, God, and he came back and bought that spirit, and we've been crying out, come on, God, we want more of you. We want more of your power. Come on, God, we want more of your signs and wonders. Come on, God, I want more of you in me, more in my life. There's got to be more to this whole thing. Come on, God, right? And this thing has been resonating in my spirit, and I'm like, okay, God, right here, you said, come on. We keep saying, come on, God. And God is saying, this, I believe, is what his response to us is. He's like saying, okay, you guys are hollering, come on, God. But I believe God is asking us three questions. And the three questions he's asking us, I'm going to set this right. Thank you, sir. Okay, the three questions he's asking us, the first one is, we're saying, come on, God. He's saying, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe in the promise in John's gospel? They said, you know, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I realize I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe the second question God is asking us in response to our cry, come on, God, is he said, well, what do you desire? He keeps saying, come on, God, but do you really desire? What are you asking me for? In Luke 11, the scriptures read, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What do you desire? The third question is, what do you fear? You know, fear is spoken of over 500 times in the scriptures. Somebody has lined something out also that there are 365 verses that say, do not fear, have no fear, that God gave us a fear verse for every day of the year. Well, there's more than 365 days, but somebody coined that and wrote a crafty little book on it. But fear, we fear emotional experiences. We fear being out of control. We fear having an out-of-body experience. Oh, if I let this thing, the Holy Spirit, come upon me, I'm not so sure what's going to happen. You know, the disciples struggled with their belief, and they struggled with a set of fears too. And when Jesus asked them if they believed, they said, Lord, we do believe. But then they said, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. You know, I want to lay a proper foundation as we talk about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's for some people and not for others. It's not a charismatic thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a universal gift from God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The reason I believe that God asks us, what do we believe? Because maybe if our foundation is not solid, I mean rock solid, then we'll waver on areas, other areas that we need to believe in. But if we do have a solid foundation and can affirm that today, then what keeps us, as John, Pastor John said to us a few weeks ago, what keeps us from wanting more? So I'm going to ask you, we're getting ready to enter into the Advent season. Do you believe in the Christ child, or is this just a fairy tale? Do you believe in a Christ child? Do you believe God clothed himself in flesh and came here, lived among men? Do you believe in the Christ child? Amen. That's foundational. Got to believe that God has entered into the life of humanity and came in the person of a man called Jesus Christ, right? Do you believe in his life, in his teaching? When you read the red letters in the Bible, do you believe that's Jesus speaking? Do you believe in the authority of Scripture? God is asking us, what do you believe? Do you believe when Jesus was baptized that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him and he was empowered for service and he went in and preached the gospel? Do you believe that Christ was crucified? This is all foundational. Because if you don't believe any of these, then we will indeed struggle with the other stuff. But we do believe that Christ was an actual person and that he was actually crucified, killed. But do we believe that he was resurrected? Because without the resurrection, we are hopeless. We have nothing. We have nothing to anchor our faith to. And so God is asking us, do we believe? You know, the disciples struggled to believe in Jesus. And Jesus said to them, believe me. In John 14, he says, but if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. Friends, do you know that signs and wonders, we've been crying out, God, I want more signs and wonders. Those are actually to help our unbelief, and it's to help the unbelievers. And it should necessarily happen among us because unbelievers come in and out of the church doors every day, every Sunday. And sometimes we are the unbelievers that walk in. But he said, if you believe in me, greater works shall you do. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Do you believe that? I mean, come on, I need you to talk back to me because this is we're having a conversation this morning, okay? So do you believe that? Y'all right now. He said, I'm going to ask the Father and he'll send you another advocate. And Pastor John preached about that. The advocate comes alongside of us. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. And he said, I won't leave you, but I'll be with you forever. I'm not going to leave you orphan. I want you to know that belief is central to Christology, okay? The Bible says that the things of God, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, the life and work and the person of Jesus Christ is foolishness to those who don't believe, to those who do not have a proper foundation of belief. Leaves us in doubt, leaves us with a double mind, it causes us confusion, causes us to waver, and it causes us to resist the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and causes us to resist the very things that Jesus promised us in his word. One author put it this way, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord indeed. Jesus is either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Who is he for you today? He is my Lord. Amen? Amen. So if we have that confession that we do, in fact, believe in Jesus Christ, then we're well on our way to where we need to go this morning. The second thing that I think relative to belief that we struggle with is baptism. Whether it's water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism, we struggle with water baptism. You know, what are you supposed to say over the people? Hocus pocus, right? There's some magic formula that has to be said. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Baptizing, Jesus said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says they went about in the book of Acts baptizing people in Jesus' name. So you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize in Jesus' name. That's a whole nother class, so we're not going there, all right? And then everybody's saying, and a little dab will do me, right? Baptize, the word baptize means to immerse, to go under. you know, you die with Christ, you rise up in his resurrection and in new power of life. But, I mean, sprinkling is acceptable and pouring is acceptable, and that's what we out for sometimes. Just a little dab, just put a little water on my head, and I'll be good, right? Where am I going with this? Okay, so listen, I want you to know, I mean, we keep saying, come on, God, I want more signs, more wonders. Well, here's a wonder. Do you believe that there is indeed an experience separate and apart from water baptism, that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring, an outflowing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised that he would send that will literally come upon us, and that there'll be some kind of sign with it, okay? We're not going to get up in the whole conversation about what kind of sign is it, but there ought to be some sign, amen? And I'm not saying that to you because I'm charismatic. I'm not saying that to you because of my culture. I'm not saying that to you from a Pentecostal standpoint, right, or a spiritual standpoint. But I'm saying it today because it is the truth of God's scripture. Jesus promised it, just like he promised us eternal life, and we believe it. Just like he promised to answer our prayers, and we believe it. Just like he promised to forgive us our sins, and we believe it. God is saying, what do you believe concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I know it's a struggle. Why? Because it's the source of denominational division all across our land. Churches rise and fall on this whole issue of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, when we should let him out, when we should keep him in, if we should let him in at all. We should let him speak prophetically through tongues, what have you. People struggle. Churches struggle with that. Paul was struggling with that with the disciples that he was going all around preaching to, and he said, I am so glad I didn't baptize any of you hooligans. I could basically hear him saying, he said, one of you say I follow Apollo, somebody else says I follow so and so. Paul's like, is Christ divided? No way. Christ is one body. We are one body of believers. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one book of the Holy Scriptures, and that is our blueprint for life. Everyone believes they're right. Everybody believes that they have some exclusive understanding of the Holy Scriptures, but there's no private interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. How many of you believe that? Mm-hmm. And there's no hard formula for when the Holy Spirit acts. We can't pencil him in the bulletin. We can't decide if and when the Holy Spirit's going to move. I remember when the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, in the book of Acts, Peter, one of them was preaching, and while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell, and they were filled. Amen? What a wonder. I would love to be in that kind of church service. How about you? Friends, just like a sailboat is useless without wind, so is the people of God. So are believers without the ruha, the pneuma, the wind of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, Paul encountered some believers. And I don't know what it was he saw, but he must have saw something that was lacking, something that was missing. I don't know, maybe it was fear, maybe it was just instant, like they didn't have a good understanding of their faith or whatever. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since you believe? And they began to speak in Ebonics, and they said, we don't believe we've even heard there ain't be any Holy Ghost. And he said, huh? He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he laid hands on them, and guess what? The power of God fell on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Have you received that distinct, separate experience? Each of you as believers have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you. We all have that. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except the Spirit of God dwell on the inside. But here, listen to what Jesus said in Luke 24. He said, listen. This was after he was resurrected. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Wait for the promise of the Father. But he also said, wait. Don't do anything else. I have to go up, but I'm going to send my spirit back down. Wait right here in Jerusalem, because in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist prophesied that. I baptize with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. You remember that? You believe that? Okay. He says, wait until you are endued with power from on high. And they said, well, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You're like, oh, God, you guys are so caught up in your political concerns. No, I'm talking about resurrection power, power to overcome all this political madness, not because of, yes, you can have the power to change the situation, but I'm giving you power to endure whatever it is that you face. I'm giving you spiritual power for life. I'm the one who gives life. What he was saying and what is happening there, he's empowering us for service. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us in that way. If I had a pitcher here and a glass of water, I would say that the water is with the pitcher. That's an indication of the Holy Spirit being with us. If I take the pitcher of water and I pour some into the glass, then the water is in there, right? The Holy Spirit is in us. But if I take that pitcher of water and I continue to let that water go until the glass overflows, that's the outpouring. And the illustration of the Holy Spirit, how God wants to come into our lives. Do you believe the promise? Do you believe God wants to do that in the life of the believer? What's your testimony? God's gift of the Holy Spirit. He said he will give it to us if we would simply ask. But I find, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not a desirable gift. You know, the commercials are used to say, you shouldn't have. I mean, really, Jesus, you shouldn't have. Because I'm not trying to look stupid. I'm not trying to be all weirded out. Am I making sense to anybody? Okay. And nobody feels like that about the power of the Holy Spirit? Okay. I guess God, you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. but to some, the Holy Spirit is not desirable. How do I know that? Because God tells me that, shows all of us that. It's evident in our walk because we don't have resurrection power. We're not walking with resurrection power. And this is the one gift that nobody else can give. We can't get it anywhere else. It's the gift of assurance that God is with us. I want a religion that I can feel. I want to be touched by the Holy Spirit of God. I want something supernatural happening in my life so that I know that I know that I know that God is not only in me, but he's for me and he's with me and he's poured out his Spirit upon me. Friends, we need that in these days, right? We need that to be able to minister to people, to be able to kind of go through the things that we go through in life, even during this season. I'm particularly prayerful during times of Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's so much loneliness. There's so much family dysfunction and division. And this is a really tough time of the year for people. And so, friends, we need to be coming together with corporate prayer and praying for folks that they will be able to get through these few months that we're in. Suicide rates go up. Depression goes up. Loneliness goes up. But God said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask. So God... question to us is, what do you believe? And his next question to us is, what do you desire? What are you longing for? What are we asking God for? What are we demanding from God's word? We know the moment we receive Christ, God gave us the Holy Spirit. But this gift, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is a desired gift that we have to ask for. We have to thirst for. We have to seek for. Matthew's gospel says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. God wants us to ask. We've been saying, come on, God. Come on, God, I want more power. Come on, God, I want more signs. Come on, God. And God's saying, come on, what? I'm here every time you call my name, every time you speak the name of Jesus, every time two or three are gathered together in his name, there I am in the midst. We keep saying, come on, God. And God is saying, come on, what? What do you desire? I said the gift of the Holy Spirit is universal. It's for everybody. It's not just for some. And if we ask, Our Heavenly Father will give us the Holy Spirit if we ask Him. Pastor John asked us a few weeks ago, what would keep us from wanting more? What would keep us from asking God for more? I think the third question that God would ask us in response to these last 3 weeks of sermon series on Come On God is God saying, what are you afraid of? What is it that you fear? The Holy Spirit empowers us for service, but fear paralyzes us. Fear makes us resist the move of God. It restrains us from moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. It keeps us living beneath our God-given rights and abilities. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not fear. I will send power." And he didn't just promise it for the disciples, but he promised it for every generation thereafter, as many as the Lord would call unto himself. Did you know fear changes the truth? Changes the truth of God's word into a lie. Fear focuses our attention away from God. It creates anxiety in us and doubt in us, even amnesia. Fear can create spiritual amnesia where we forget the purpose, the promise that the Bible declares signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. What's our testimony? Is that testimony true? Signs and wonders will follow those who believe? Is it true in the larger church, in Christendom? Is it true in Rolling Plains? Is it true in our personal life? Do we have that testimony? How do we know? Well, what are people's comfort levels like when they're around you? Do they ask you to forgive them when they curse around you? Do they change their behavior when they're around you? What are people's comfort levels? You know, it used to be a time when people would tremble when they would come over the threshold of the church doors. Those of you who are as old as me would recognize that. It was a place where you knew you were going to meet God. There was no ifs, ands, or buts, but you knew God was going to be in the place, right? People trembled. There was a time when sinners could not sit under the preached word of God because the Holy Spirit of God would bring conviction and they would come running to the altar and say, what must I do to be saved? Friends, that's the presence and the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. It convicts us. It unsettles us. It necessarily rearranges our thought life and it necessarily messes up our bulletins and our programs. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to give us life and life more abundantly. But God is saying, what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? And I want you to know that fear is not just something that debilitates us, but fear can also keep us or put us in a place where we are in danger of hell's fire. If we look at the book of Revelation, it speaks about the lake of fire is there for those who are the unbelievers, the fearful and the unbelieving. When we resist and we reject the power of the Holy Spirit, we blaspheme God and we set ourselves in danger of hell's fire. Jesus said in the Gospels, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will answer, if you will yield, if you will submit and open yourself to me, I will come in. I will sup with you. I will dwell in your hearts. I'll be in you and with you like a well of living water flowing up out of you." I want you to know that it is indeed a blasphemous religion that accepts the person of God and the person of Jesus Christ, but rejects the person of the Holy Spirit. It is a blasphemous religion who tries to divide God into and compartmentalize and to decide how we want God to interact with us when God is the agent of interaction and the precipitator thereof. We wouldn't even know God had God not come to us in the power of the Holy Spirit wooing us with that prevenient grace to come in to a relationship with Him. Can you just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know also that those who reject the notion, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Believers who do that leave themselves open game for the enemy. They've entered into a fight with absolutely no protection. They've waged in spiritual warfare, or waging in spiritual warfare, with no armament. The minute that we name the name of Jesus Christ, all hell comes against us. All the forces of evil come against us just for naming the name, because at the name of Jesus, things begin to happen in the spiritual atmosphere. We are, when we don't receive the Holy Spirit, as dead men walking. We have no power, we have no testimony, no signs, no wonders, no witness. No wonder the church can no longer hold captive the attention of the world. My God, when people come into church, they ought to be able to see something different. They ought to be able to experience something different. We ought not be deciding what people are going to experience and what God is going to do in our midst. God simply said, come together on the first day of the week. Come with your offerings. Come with your praises. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I feel like, you know, we've been crying out, come on, God. But I feel like it's the world outside that's crying out, come on, God. Where are you? Come on, God. Show me your power. Come on, God. What's going on in your church? Come on, God. What's going on in the pulpit? Come on, God. Show me what you got, because what the world's given to me ain't working, and I need something, and I've been to the place you call church. And God, it ain't happening. They say you're there, you call upon your name, but I don't see your powers. I don't see your wonders. I don't see your signs. We accept Christ and we reject his power. Leaves us with a lack of assurance. No wonder the first thing Jesus said when he was resurrected from the grave, when he encountered the disciples, they were like, "Ooh!" Even though he said, I'll be back. He said, fear not. Fear not, I'm with you. And he breathed upon them and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And that's what I believe God is saying to us today through his word. He's breathing on us. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. You've been saying, come on, God. God, the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing. He just said, receive it. He just said, receive it. It's here and yours for the asking. Just receive it. Just receive it. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of being labeled. We're afraid of being ridiculed. Afraid of being that kind of church. What kind of church is that? The kind of church that moves and breathes and has its being in the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, now there's a church that I'm afraid to be a part of, right? That's a Holy Spirit-filled church. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is for ministry. It empowers us for service, and it rightly belongs in the church service, friends. So listen, if you got a notion and you got running in your feet and you feel like you just need to take a lap for Jesus, you ought to be free to do that. If during the preached word, the Holy Spirit of God falls upon you, you should be free to come up to this altar and lay before the altar while the preaching is still going on. That's not unseemly. That's not out of order. That's not unsightly. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. For healing, for deliverance. We can't schedule God in on our calendars. We can't decide when the Holy Spirit's going to show up. Today is a day of salvation. God is saying, don't miss our hour of visitation. The Holy Spirit belongs in a service where all are gathered together to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where strongholds are broken, where people are delivered and set free. And the Holy Spirit of God, being omnipotent, all-powerful, being omnipresent everywhere, at all places, all times, and being omniscient, all-knowing, even hears our thoughts now. Even hears the thoughts of some who are saying, well, if y'all go in that direction, rolling plains, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a part of this foolishness. But I pray you would not blaspheme God in that way. I pray that you would hold true to what the scriptures declare. And I pray that you would hear these words from the Bible that says, that the things of God are indeed foolishness to those who do not believe. So when we struggle with belief and we struggle with fear, they will seem foolish. They will seem out of order. We will try to judge them by our flesh and not by the Spirit. God asked this question while I was writing my notes. He says, whose life is it anyway? I mean, if we gave our lives to Christ, whose life is it anyway? Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ living on the inside of me. You know, we can be so fearful of losing control, so fearful of losing our friends. Jesus says, the one who tries to save his life shall what? Lose it. We're so afraid of how long the service is going to go. The Bible says times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. Whoo, I could just stay here all day. What are we afraid of? And what are we waiting for? The hour of visitation is here. You know, sometimes we want to move on our own accord and we want to move out. But Jesus told his disciples, he says, now listen, though I promised, right? And I know you're afraid of what's going to happen when I go back to my Father in heaven, but I'm not going to leave you without help. Stay here. He says in the 24th chapter, he says, I'm going to send what the Father has promised. Stay here and wait. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. Do you know that Jesus, the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, never intended for any of us to try and live out this Spirit-filled life without the power of the Holy Spirit in us? Do you know that? I'm wondering today. The last question is, well, he's asking, what do we believe? What do we fear? What do we desire? But here's the final thing. What are we waiting for? We've been crying out, come on, God, for weeks and days on end. We've been praying the 609 prayer every day. I'm wondering if we could invite a time of stillness in our lives and allow our souls to linger. I'm wondering if we might even respond to the word today. I'm wondering if we are indeed desirous for a sign from God. I'm wondering if we would allow ourselves to be presented before God. I stand before you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. This is my reasonable service to you, Lord. I'm wondering if we could have a bodily response this morning. I know we're not used to that, but I'm wondering, and God is wondering, if we could have a bodily response. If this morning, even while the preaching is ending, for those of us, for those of you who have been crying out, come on, God, I want more of you. I invite you to come now. Just stand up out of your seat. Just come forward to the altar here. You don't have to kneel. You can stand. You can kneel. I'm not going to rub you down with oil. I'm not going to throw you on the floor. I'm not going to do anything to you, but the Holy Spirit just might. The Holy Spirit just might. I'm wondering if you would respond to the preached word this morning by simply stepping out of your seat, courageously coming forward with your thoughts, with your unbelief, with your challenges about moving about in the service. Friends, I want you to know that the entire congregation at the 8:15 service this morning rose up to their seats and they came forward this morning in response to the word. God is not a respecter of persons. The same God that showed up this morning, I believe, is showing up right now. Friends, I'm out of time. The hour of deliverance is upon us. The invitation has been extended for you to come now, quickly. Don't even think about it anymore. Come and offer yourselves to the Lord. Come and stand naked before the cross. Come and offer everything that you have. Come and say, Lord, I am coming as an indication of my faith. I'm going to stand, Lord, and I'm going to wait like you told the disciples to wait. I don't necessarily have to wait right here because there's another service coming after, but Lord, I'm going to wait in my heart. Lord, I just pray you're going to do something in my heart to this morning, I pray, Lord, that there will be a transformation. I pray, Lord, that I will be able to receive your promise, because you said this was just not only for me, but it was for my children and my children's children and to all who would believe. Friends, don't worry about being ridiculed. Don't worry about being rejected. Jesus Christ himself was rejected by men, rejected by even the people in the church, rejected by the political rulers, people in high and low positions. Don't worry about being rejected. I'm preaching for a response this morning. I'm preaching and I'm asking you for that response. Are we just filling time? Are we just full of words? But our hearts are far from it. Why are we here this morning? Why did you come this morning? Are you here for ritual? Are you here out of habit? Or are you here hungry and thirsty and desiring more of God? Do you want something more? What is your spirit saying? What are your lips doing right now? Are you talking to God? Are you telling him about your beliefs, about your struggles? Are you getting the revelation that Peter got? When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he didn't want any part of it. But Jesus said, if you don't let me do this thing for you, you can't have any part of me. And when he got that revelation, he said, hey, wash me thoroughly from head to toe. And that's what we're doing today. Those of us who have the revelation of the Spirit, that God indeed wants to do a fresh work and a new move, and to baptize all of us in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live and move and have our being in him. If you'll lift your hands all over the sanctuary, those of you who come forward bodily, those of you who are in your seats and presenting your hearts faithfully, lift your hands and repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, baptize me now with the power of your Holy Spirit. Overflow me with it. Fill me to the full with it. With yourself, Lord. Empower me, Lord. Make me bold with your word, Lord. Help me to believe it by faith now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, as Joel Osteen would say, if you prayed that prayer, I believe you got saved today. I believe you got baptized. You know what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I could come out and reach out and touch all of you. I did that last service. But another way the Holy Spirit came, it just came while the preacher was preaching. So I'm just going to walk in faith and believe that this morning. Amen. And I'm going to believe that out of our mouths, we confessed faith, right? We believed it in our heart. And so guess what? It's done. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do now is to wait on it. Wait by contemplating. Wait. Asking God, how do you want to use me? Get in a spiritual gifts class. Present yourselves daily as a living sacrifice unto God. Wait on the Lord. And I promise you, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move in all of us in new and amazing ways. In God's timing, not ours. Friends, if you believe that, go back to your heart rejoicing as the band takes us into our closing song, or I believe it's the offering, something.
So do you believe that this week
Do you believe?
With all the problems we've had this morning, it always tells me one thing, that somebody isn't happy about what's happening in this place. But God is, because He's here.